Now today we come to our final lesson from the book of Genesis. It's a few weeks now since we first started our studies in Genesis chapter 1, and here we are in the closing verses of chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, wilt thou, by thy Holy Spirit, help us to understand thy word in such a way that we'll draw from it the comfort that we need. Grant, O God, that by thy word we shall be built up, fortified, and strengthened. Remember every listener today, wherever they may be, may thy blessing be their portion, and may the Lord himself be magnified and glorified as the result of this broadcast. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Now let us read to you then these closing verses of the book of Genesis, verse 15. Chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now, it's most interesting to watch now what comes out in these closing verses of the book of Genesis. I would suggest to you, first of all, that you must consider the fear of Joseph's brethren. And then there is the forgiveness by Joseph. And then last of all, we must consider the faith of Joseph. Now looking at the fear of Joseph's brethren, notice now that when they got back into Egypt, they began again to consult with one another. You know, it's a strange thing, this thing we call memory. For after all, it is now almost 40 years since Joseph's brethren had mistreated him, and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And now their memories begin to work, and the true work of conviction takes place. How will Joseph deal with them now, since their father is gone? You see, the memory has gone back. And now they're saying to one another, I wonder, what will Joseph do to us now, since our father is dead? As long as our father was here, he wouldn't do very much. But now we're left here at his mercy. Our father is gone, and sure enough, Joseph will requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, might I suggest there was nothing in Joseph's heart at all towards this idea? Joseph was not going to requite them for that evil. Joseph had understood that God was working behind the scenes, but now their memories are beginning to work. Not only so, their conscience is being smitten with conviction. Now, do you remember, when they came down to Egypt, first of all, for corn, they didn't know Joseph, yet they had to bow down to him and acknowledge him as the Lord of the land. Then there came the time when Joseph revealed himself to them, and still they had to bow to him. But now, here is the fact of true conviction, in a sense, for the simple reason they're at the stage now where they realize there's nothing between them and Joseph to prevent Joseph from requiting them all this evil. Now, will he take action against them? Besides, they're willing to bow down to him, and they do bow down to him, because when they come before him, they are bowing down before Joseph, their brother. You remember, that's the very thing they said they wouldn't do. They said, we'll never bow down to you. You'll never lord it over us. The fact of the matter is now, they're bowing down. There was true conviction here, of course. Their conscience was smitten. Might I say, and I remind you again of this, my friend, that if a thing is not dealt with properly, it's not dealt with at all. If there is a sore, you don't patch it up or cover it up. That sore has got to be dealt with, root and branch. And now this thing has got to be dealt with. However, not only do we have memories here that create the fear, there's a misunderstanding. For 17 years they have been well treated by their brother Joseph. And not once do we read of Joseph bringing a charge against them. Because it is clear that Joseph had forgiven them and left the issue with his God whom he trusted. However, they understood him not, and they still doubted. Now, might I apply this in this particular way to some folks? Might I ask you today, my friend, was there ever a time when you understood the great truth of reconciliation? See, the New Testament speaks of the ministry of reconciliation. There is the message of reconciliation. Now, if a person who is a sinner has come to grips with the truth of the Bible, and they know that they have been reconciled to God, reconciled through the blood of the cross, that Christ has acted as the mediator, that he stands between the sinner and God, taking God in one hand because he is God, taking man in the other hand because he was man. He was able to act as the mediator, thus reconciling the guilty sinner to the offended God. If you have been reconciled to God, you can rest assured, my friend, that the question of your sin will never be brought up again. There is no need to fear. The devil, of course, may try to upset you. The enemy may try to mislead you. But if you have been accepted by God, you can rest assured that the question of your sins will never again be raised. your sins and iniquities he will not bring against you. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. God has cast them behind his back. He has blotted them out as with a thick cloud, and never again will God bring these things against you. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. So don't be like Joseph's brethren. Don't bring up these things again and consider that the Lord is going to bring them against you. You see, if you have accepted his salvation and you have accepted his forgiveness, then remember this perfection about it. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now that brings us to verses 19 through 21. There we're seeing the forgiveness by Joseph. There are few things in life more hard to bear than ungrounded suspicion. But Joseph was superior to all these feelings of resentment. And here he was able to assure his brethren once again that he did not hold anything, he didn't hold any grudge against them. What a beautiful character. His reply to them is a clear statement of truth, mingled with grace. I like that, you know. Because when you come to the New Testament, it's grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. Oh, it's equally true, the law came by Moses, but the law only thunders at us. The law is not able to save us. The law cannot make us righteous. The law only exposes our sin. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not truth apart from grace, and not grace apart from truth, but truth mingled with grace. He reminds them, that is, Joseph does, he reminds them that they did do a wrong thing, but the matter is left in the hands of God to judge. So far as he is concerned, he will continue to nourish them and protect their children. Again, I want you to notice, Joseph spoke to them through his tears, and his word reached their hearts. You know, it's strange when you read those words. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? In plain words, they were thinking now of their sin and the evil they had done. And they said, why, Joseph will put us through our paces for this now. Ah, he'll bring judgment against us. Joseph says, no, I leave these matters with God to judge. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, again he says, fear ye not. Now watch what he promises to do. I will nourish you, and your little ones. And he comforted them. Now it's this expression, and spake kindly unto them. Now that expression, spake kindly unto them, simply means he spoke to their hearts. It's like that expression we have in the prophecy of Isaiah, comfort ye, my people. Now that idea of comfort there is to speak to the heart. Now that's exactly what Joseph is doing here. He comforted them and he spake to their hearts. In plain words, this was no empty talk of Joseph's. Joseph wasn't simply seeking here for favors from them. He wasn't running for office and trying to capture their vote. Nothing like that. Joseph was speaking truth, but he was speaking truth in grace. He was speaking to their hearts. And the plain fact of the matter is this. It is only that which comes from the heart that can reach the heart. You know, if a thing comes from the head, it may be intelligent enough, but it only reaches the head. But when Joseph spoke here, he spoke from his heart, and he spoke to their hearts. So here was a word that could reach their hearts. But the strange thing is this, at the end of verse 17, we have these words, "And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." You know, it's strange, if I may put it like this, that Joseph was a man, as I have mentioned in previous studies, who was not given to emotion. Yet here is another case where he wept. Do you remember he wept when he saw his brethren and saw Benjamin? He couldn't refrain from weeping. And then he wept when he revealed himself to his brethren. He wept when he met his old father after the many years in which they were separated. He wept when his father died. Now he weeps with his brethren again because they misunderstand him. And Joseph wept. I wonder, my friend, why some folk cause others to weep. Joseph wept. And through his tears he could speak to them, but his words reached their hearts. Now, I want you to notice for a short time the closing verses, Joseph's faith. We've seen something of the fear of Joseph's brethren. We've seen something of the nature of the forgiveness by Joseph. Now let us look then at the faith of Joseph. Verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Now the various movements in the life of Joseph may be summarized thus. The first 17 years of his life, he was the favorite son with his father. Now, the next 10 years, he was the slave in a strange house. Then for 3 years, he was the prisoner in Egypt's prison. Then for 80 years, he was the prince or president in Pharaoh's land. Now we come to the end and the conclusion of Jacob's career. We see him, he's a corpse in the coffin. From his early life, Joseph displayed a strong faith in his father's God. And even though he obtained a high position in Egypt, he never forgot the promises of God regarding the promised land. And he would not be buried in Egypt. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's what is said in the great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Let me mention it again, and we'll say a little about the faith of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, notice then what he said. Verse 24, And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, they embalmed him, and was put in a coffin in Egypt. When we commenced our study of the book of Genesis, one of the first pictures we had was that of the first man, Adam, with his wife Eve, living in a beautiful garden in fellowship with God. And now, when you come to the closing verses of the book of Genesis, you have a man in a coffin. It started off with life, as it were, with a capital L. The book finishes with death, with a capital D. Two funerals, as it were, or two deaths, in the closing chapter of Genesis. But yet, the death of Joseph is marked, as it were, with a note of faith. From his early life, Joseph displayed a strong faith in his father's God. And even though he obtained this high position in Egypt, remember, he never forgot the promises of God. When he was about to die, he spoke of those promises. And he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. And so when he died, or just as he was about to die, he took an oath of his relatives, the children of Israel. And he's telling them, God will surely visit you. Here he's looking forward to the future. And when God visits you and brings you out of this land, I want you to take with you my coffin. Now watch. When his father died, they left Egypt. They went up into the promised land. And they buried their father Jacob up in the promised land. When Joseph died, he didn't ask them to carry him up and bury him there. He wanted them to wait until God visited them. He wanted to go out when God was delivering his people. And so he was embalmed. He was put in a coffin down in Egypt and was kept there until the day that God brought them out. When you come to the book of Exodus chapter 13, here is what you read at the time of the Exodus, when the children of Israel were coming out of the land of bondage. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. So when the children of Israel came out on that night of the Passover, and the following morning they left the land of bondage, as they were going, they did not forget to take with them the coffin that contained the remains of Joseph. For 40 years it was carried through the wilderness, until they came into the land. And when you come to the last chapter of the book of Joshua, when they were in the land, here is what you read. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the work of the Lord that he had done for Israel, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And so when they were down in Egypt, Joseph said, I'm dying, but remember, you look after the coffin that will contain my remains. When God delivers you out of this land, take me with you. I don't want to be buried here. Joseph was not put in one of the great tombs down in Egypt. They can open these tombs as much as they like. They can search them. They'll never find the coffin that contained the embalmed body of Joseph. It wasn't buried in any of the tombs in Egypt. It was carried out at the time of redemption, when the children of Israel were delivered from the land of bondage. They carried that with them as a memorial throughout the pilgrim journey for 40 years. And when they got into the land of promise, he was buried there at Shechem. Oh, my friend, listen. Just as Joseph gave to the children of Israel that memorial, and so they were always reminded of Joseph, every day, so to speak, during the journey, looking forward to the day when they would possess the land, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going, he gave to his own followers simple emblems of bread and a cup, telling them of his death. And the bread would remind them of the body that was given, and the wine would remind them of the blood that was shed, and they were to do this till he comes.